The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk. Winners and sinners on The Hard Shoulder.
Yes, Alison Curtis is with me, presenter of Weekend Breakfast, and Holly Carpenter, the social media content creator, both picking their winners and sinners from the week gone by. Holly, congratulations, we have to say officially.
Thank
first
you very
of all.
Much, yes.
Still I'm glowing?
Yeah, I'm absolutely buzzing. I recently got engaged 3 weeks ago to the day.
Wow.
So yeah, it feels like...
Did you know it was coming?
I actually didn't know in that moment because we went for a sunrise walk and it was like 5 a.m. And it was so
early.
And
do you regularly go for sunrise walks?
We used to do it a lot more and we hadn't been doing it in ages, but we were both saying like, oh, we haven't done this in ages. We should really do one. So it wasn't too out of the norm. But I think it was the first time he's ever seen me completely speechless. I don't think I've ever been speechless in my life until that moment.
Yeah.
You definitely weren't expecting it.
Yeah, no. I mean, I knew it was coming soon, but just there and then I was like, wait, is this actually happening?
Right. Wedding plans. Where? When? Oh, who's the band?
Listen, if I start talking about that now, he'll get stressed listening to me. Don't listen, James.
Anyway, congratulations.
Thank you.
It is great. So, Alison, who's your winner of the week?
I have two.
Oh, God.
Connor McCabe.
Let me check. Claire, is that allowed?
Oh, is that
we
allowed?
We have two winners of the week.
Yeah, okay.
Alison, can have two winners.
Together on this. You probably covered
no
this
winner
on the
next
show.
Week. That's the balance. Right, go.
You probably covered this already. Connor McCabe and Augusta O'Donoghue, and they are artists, both artists, and they came up with the idea of putting slogans or conversation starters on mats that people can put outside of their houses because politicians are calling. Did you cover this?
No, but I did see it. It's a great idea.
So it's amazing. So they started with 50 in total and now they're obviously going to do more. And basically it's in anticipation of people knocking on the door going, vote for me. And they can go, well, let's start by talking about this, the housing crisis or, you know, the tents along the canals and stuff. So they couldn't get over the reaction they got to it. So it's on and on and on. So originally they handed out 50 for free. So it's brilliant. Like one of the slogans is, you know, Dublin City, where we are using homes as hotels and hotels as homes. And that's the kind of vibe that they're giving off.
And I wonder, is the real effect that people just don't knock at the door? They see the mat and they just think, I'm just going to really quietly put this, leave it through the letterbox and go. Have you had anyone call yet?
Loads.
Oh, yeah?
Loads. Yeah.
And do you ask them questions? Or do you just try and get rid of them as quick as you can?
It depends. Like a couple times I've spoken to them, talked to them, and like there are issues in my area that I, when I was younger, didn't care about. But now I'm like, by the way, can we get rid of all the dog poo, by the way, on the roads and things? This is a pressing issue. It just depends on my mood. Like if dinner is on the stove, I feel badly. I don't. But if I have time, I do. Do people?
No, we've had a few. Well,
do you live in the middle of nowhere? I can't remember.
No, I live in town. So okay. We've had a few come to the door, but I'm not there most of the time. So my wife is the one dealing with them.
There's so many of them going around Stony Batter, like relentlessly ringing the doorbell. And some of them have film crews with them.
Oh,
have
really?
Have you seen that? Yeah, no. It's like you open the door to your own house and there's a film crew outside the house.
Gosh.
A little bit
and
of
you
like,
think you're on the Dad's Doorstep Challenge.
Yeah.
For just a moment. Looking for Shane Ritchie.
Did I get you to sign something?
Well, I did the whole interview and then afterwards the woman was like, do you mind if we use this? And I was like, actually, I do. Yeah, sorry, you can't. Because, I mean, there's loads of weirdos out there. You don't want to show the front of your house where you live.
Yes.
I think
they would ask you before filming.
Yeah, it kind of threw me throughout the whole conversation that they were there. I won't say which person it was, but I just thought, like, fair enough, if they want to get their own content, I'm all about that myself. But I was like, there is a line if it's the front of your house.
Mm, yeah.
Definitely.
So do you engage with them when they call?
I find that they come at really awkward times, like when you're just ready to unwind and stuff and you're just not in the mood. But I did give out about dog poo as well. I was saying every house in Stony Batter has a dog and there's barely any bins around. Mm-hmm. And I was also saying that like me and my neighbour regularly do cleanups and I don't know. I felt like I was just kind of going on and it was going over their head. One of my friends really gives it to them when they come to the door and they're like, you know, you all come to our houses and say you're going to do X, Y and Z, but how do we know you're actually going to do it? Once I give you my vote, you know, are you going to actually do anything you're talking about? But I don't know.
Are people you talk to, are they engaged? It's hard for me to gauge how engaged. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Gauge how engaged people are? Because we're talking about it anyway.
Yeah.
But,
true.
You know, someone described it really well. You know, Richard Osman, big tall guy, Thursday Murder Club and all that. He was on a podcast and he said, general elections or any election, it's kind of like Wimbledon and 51 weeks of the year no one cares about tennis and then suddenly Sue Barker's on your TV and you're like, oh yes, tennis, I love this, I'm all into it. And he wasn't sure whether they're at that point with the UK side. And I don't know, are we,
I think it
is it next week
area, though, doesn't it, like as far as
tune in,
like where I am is a lot of like a lot of really heated issues. We were kind of a hotbed for one thing in particular, immigration this year. So there's a lot of people like calling to the door that are, you know, passionate about that. I'm waiting for this guy to call that is, you know, Ireland for the Irish. I'm waiting for him.
Have you not had any of them yet?
No, I can't wait.
They must know your house.
Yeah, maybe.
No, that's your one.
They see my
that's
door
that's that immigrant.
Yeah,
that immigrant lives there.
Oh,
don't call
God.
To her. We want to get rid of her.
Local business as well. I'm waiting, but it hasn't happened yet.
All right. Have you had anyone whose views you very strongly disagree with?
I actually haven't. No. Mm. I'd enjoy that though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun.
Bit of challenge.
Yeah,
right.
See you.
So that is, anyway, Alison's winner of the week, Conor McCabe and Augustine O'Donoghue for their artwork in anticipation of Door Knocking. And if you check them out, you'll find the various slogans they have. Conversation starters, as it were. Holly, who's your winner of the week?
So my winner of the week is the Hollywood actor John Cusack.
Oh, yeah.
And basically some backstory. You might have seen that the presidential candidate Nikki Haley, photos emerged of her signing the missiles that were going towards, Gaza and stuff like that. So he tweeted, anyone who signs an effing bomb should be put in a mental institution for the criminally insane. And he's got a lot of kind of support for that because she wrote, finish them. And obviously that's just disgusting and you can't imagine that anyone would actually do that. But I feel so supportive of anyone who has a huge following that actually will put themselves out there and talk out about Gaza, because more people are doing it now.
This week in particular.
Yeah, this week it's great to see people who, even if they didn't, it doesn't matter. Like, the point is they're doing it now. But there are like other celebrities, you know, Bella Hadid, her dad's Palestinian. There's been John Legend. They've all been really outspoken. Mm-hmm. And even though it seems like a no-brainer if you have this huge platform, but some of them have been using the excuse, you know, oh, I don't think I'll get booked for TV roles or movie gigs if I'm really political. But then we have our own Nicola Coughlan, who's been
amazing,
outspoken since day one. Yeah, and she's really, really used her voice. And she's even got a link to a fundraiser in her Instagram bio, which has just helped generate so much money. So, I mean, you do like open yourself up to a lot of hate in that position too, because there's mad people mm-hmm. who would support what that woman did, you know. But it's important to see people who are actually just saying, do you know what, I'm going to use my platform for good.
Yeah. I know this is a slightly different point, but isn't it mad that Nikki Haley was being suggested as the kind of the moderate, sensible Republican?
Yeah, I know.
Only a few weeks ago. Like, you know, like people should really vote for this woman, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because God forbid somebody crazy ended up in the White House. You know? Jesus.
It was pretty shocking images. Nicola Coughlin's amazing. She's actually, yeah, the fundraiser for children.
Yeah.
And she's just done a really good job. But I get people like messaging me kind of going, oh, I'm really glad you're finally speaking out now. And it's like,
really?
You get a little, I don't know if you have at all on your social media as well, but it's kind of like, okay, it is something that we should all be speaking about, of course.
I just get abused in my social media.
In general.
Yeah.
But you do have to kind of allow the person to govern that their own activity. Or what I often get a lot is if I have a sponsor on board that is unfortunately or not linked to, you know, is on the list, the banned list.
I know.
It's like, I have no decision making in that. So I have to explain that a lot.
Well, I've seen people kind of really come for social media influencers and content creators and attacking them and saying, why hasn't she posted anything or why hasn't he said anything? And I think if you're really going to focus your energy on the people that should be doing things, it's not influencers.
Yeah.
I think look at the politicians, look at the upcoming election, all of that kind of stuff, because I get it, but people do have their own reasons as well. And also, like, I have a friend who has a huge following. He's a big social media influencer and he was at some of the protests. Mm-hmm. He has a direct debit going out to one of the charities. And just because he hadn't publicly posted anything, people were like, you don't care, you're not doing anything. Just because people aren't posting it publicly doesn't mean that they're doing it.
That means you're on Instagram every day because it evaporates in 24 hours. How do you know?
Yeah.
But also, like, for those people, and I know you're in this category as well, like, that's your business. And Mary Coughlin was on the show yesterday and she is, like, you know, front and center at so many of these campaigns and long before this current kind of iteration of conflict. And she has a new single out and she's an album coming up and she's all this other work. And I asked her about that and she was like, well, like, you've got to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You've still got to work. You've still got to pay bills.
Exactly.
And if you're a content creator, like, you know, Holly, how dare you post about this kind of face cream when this is happening in the world?
It's not like other people go, this is terrible, I'm not going to go to work for the next 5 days because out of protest of what's happening. And, you know, that's the same as telling me not to post my own work that I do. So it is a tough one. But also with what's happening, it's not a situation where you're going to pick one side or the other. This isn't a war. It's a genocide, in my opinion, or, you know, in anyone's view that is looking at it. I know I don't really, I'm not the one to get into politics on the radio, so maybe I won't, but he is definitely my winner of the week.
Alison, what's on the show this weekend? See that look on her face there, Holly. It's a weekly occurrence.
Catch on Mia, because it's all about the Women's Mini Marathon.
Oh, very good.
We're talking about that. And
have you ever done it?
Four times.
Oh,
wow. I hate it.
What a bro.
I'm sorry. I'm
really
proud of everybody who does it.
Why do you hate it?
I'm so bored of my own company. I know not the Women's Mini Marathon is separate. Like, you do have a gang of girls and you feel really empowered. Let me change that. I hate running. I didn't hate Mini Marathon. Sorry.
Just to be clear.
I even hosted it 1 year, which was great fun. But anyway, but I love the event itself. But I hate, I've talked about this before.
Yeah.
I hate running. I get so bored.
So do I.
I can't talk and run at the same time. And I love talking. So I just, yeah. But I'm proud of everybody who takes part in it. It's incredible. And the thing to mention about it, though, is that so many charities that money is being raised on behalf of, that's their biggest drive every year. And it's incredible. So,
Holly, you running it? Have you done it before?
I've never done it. I'm sorry. I used to really hate running. And then charities would ask me to get involved with things and just presuming that I could run. And I was like, I actually can't. I'm sorry. I just can't run. But I mean, there is a lot of other charity work that I do. So, you know, you've had me on with the Dogs Trust and everything. It's not that I'm allergic to doing charity run, but it's literally, I'm quite like Phoebe from Friends trying to run. It's so bad.
I just get really bored.
Yeah.
But you could put
I've gotten better. Maybe
hours,
I should do it.
Yeah.
Is
maybe
it
they should do
it.
Maybe that's what they should do. They should scrap the mini marathon and just get 25,000 women playing tennis.
I'm like a straight
and then you'd be all over it.
No.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, who's your sinner of the week, Alison?
Keyboard warriors.
Okay.
So are you following the CMAT story?
Yeah.
Yes. There's two CMAT stories. This one is she was performing for the BBC Radio 1 Big Weekend and she had a video up of one of her songs. She was wearing a very like baggy top and she ripped it off and revealed something tighter. Her prerogative. But the comments underneath were so horrific and awful towards her appearance that they had to disable them. And she came back and said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that it was illegal to have a huge ass, guilty as charged, and just owning it. And it's just going to this whole idea of, like, is that ever going to evaporate in society, keyboard warriors? Like, is that ever going to go away? Like, are people someday collectively going to wake up and go, this is kind of a nasty thing to do? It's kind of a, like, you know, it's not a courageous thing to do. It's a cowardly thing to do. Is it ever going to stop? And BBC Radio 6 have set up this new platform called Change the Tune, and they're really pushing to combat online abuse. Because it seems weird to me that still, like, newspapers have moved away largely, maybe still have problems with commenting on women's bodies, but largely they've gone, ugh, even if the old, like, crusty...
They're not as obvious about it anyway,
like, we can't say that anymore.
Yeah.
No, George, we can't. So that they've moved away from that. But online, I just wonder, is ever going to change? Like, if I talk to my daughter and her generation, 13-year-olds going, this is said about people or this comment is made about their bodies, they don't even understand why that happens. So like someday when they get their online life, in an ideal world, they're not going to be doing it.
Yeah. I don't have any faith in humanity.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think it's ever going to end.
Yeah.
And there'll always be people doing it.
Yeah.
Take away their keyboards.
Yeah.
That's the only solution.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But you know what scares me? It's not like when you imagine a keyboard warrior or an internet troll, you think it's some weird person who literally lives under a bridge and they're an actual troll. It's people who walk among us, who you say hello to, that chat to you in the coffee shop. They actually, like, it's a weird thing that people have and they really enjoy it. And some people, I don't know, it's like they get a kick out of it. And like, I have been online since I was 19 and I'm 32 now. So let me tell you, I have a thick skin because I've done, like, even, you know, beauty pageants and stuff like that where your image is online and people are like, do you rate this girl? Yeah. And then everyone says all the things that you should probably get done to your face or the weight you should lose or the outfit you should never wear again and the things about your personality they don't like.
You definitely occupied a space where that was high.
That was high at that time. And no one really even called each other out for it. You know, at least now, yeah. someone would be mortified if they were revealed as a troll. But back then it was like, oh, sure, what did she expect, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah. I think it's changing slightly, but I think those people will still be there. It's so hard to police. Like, you can, I think TikTok is one of the harshest ones that I've seen comment-wise.
Is it?
Yeah, the comments on TikTok are pretty harsh.
Where are the most positive comments? Yeah.
I think Instagram is quite positive because it's all people that you know, and there's not that many fake accounts on Instagram.
Instagram is middle-aged ladies like myself looking for the latest quinoa recipe. That is what Instagram is.
It's a safe space. Yeah, you're all lovely. You can all stay. Yeah, and then Twitter, I don't know, it's just, I know it's not even called Twitter anymore, but it used to be so much fun. You could just tweet random things. I look back at what I used to talk about on Twitter and it was so lighthearted. Mm. It was actually fun. And now it's just been taken over by these really angry, miserable people who really just want you to mess up. They want you to make a typo. They want you to say something wrong. And then they're just going to jump on you. So I actually don't even really use Twitter that much anymore.
I have to blame you, Kieran, for making me join Threads.
Oh, sorry. You're not still on Threads, are you? Alison, come on.
Alison,
I got off Threads ages ago.
It's only new.
I'm deleting it right now.
Yeah,
I never got it.
It's so boring. And every time I'm on it, I think of you going, he told me to join this. Nothing's happening.
Maybe it would be more entertaining if there was a few trolls.
Yeah.
I'm going to set up an anonymous account and start trolling you. That's what I'm going to say.
Oh,
shut up, quinoa head.
Well, that's the meanest thing you can think of ever. Yeah. You're not going to be
a very good troll,
am
I? All right, quinoa head.
I don't like your...
I don't know. Molly, who's your sinner of the week?
So my sinner of the week is Diddy, Sean Diddy Combs. Yeah. Such a creep. And I just, so obviously since last year, Diddy has faced multiple lawsuits accusing him of sexual assault. At the time, he completely denied the allegations, maintaining a statement where he said he didn't do any of the awful things being alleged. And he said that anyone who was accusing him of such was looking for a quick payday. But now an actual video has come out of him physically assaulting Cassie, his former girlfriend, in 2016. And now he's subsequently released this video apology where he said that he was rock bottom. He was in a really bad place in his life and, you know, poor me. Mm. And he feels terrible and, you know, it's inexcusable. But he's not sorry that he did it. He's just sorry he got caught. And he's not even just as bad as someone who's a bit creepy and a bit handsy. I think he's even worse than, like, he's a full-blown predator. The things he's accused of, like sex human trafficking, I know some of his music is really good. I won't take that away from him, but like, it's not going to be cool to play any of his music anymore. And he's just really scary. It's really dark.
It is. That video is
oh, it's like something from a horror movie.
Well, I didn't. I saw a clip of it.
I saw the sanitized one where it cuts.
Yeah.
In front of the elevator, we'll put it that way.
Yeah. But someone who does that has done that before.
Yeah.
Like someone who is capable of that.
I was amazed though I was amazed the next day when there was suddenly a video of him talking about it.
Yeah. It's
you know, usually kind of the approach, they just disappear.
Yeah. And I think 50 Cent really wants to kind of hone in on this, and he's working on a documentary called Diddy Do It, where he wants to expose Diddy, and he's kind of saying he's always been a creep. And I think the things that will come out eventually are just going to be beyond what we could even expect. And it's just one of those things where I can't look away, but I also just really want to know how it's going to play out for him, because he's so well protected as well. He has so much power, so much money. So people like that, he probably knows a lot about some very high, powerful people who are maybe at his parties and he has some dirt on them. So it's all of that kind of stuff.
Eventually all comes out.
You'd like to think so.
People get served justice sometimes, like this week.
Yes. Well, who are you talking about?
Very bad.
Human trafficking. Is it kind of, to be charged with human, how does one even get into human trafficking? You know?
You're asking,
but you know what I mean?
Couldn't
you imagine, you can understand or you can visualize the path into certain crimes for some people.
Yeah.
Can't you? I mean, I'm not saying you can imagine yourself doing them. You can imagine, you can visualize the path. Come with me, Alison, on this journey.
Where are you taking us, Kieran?
I know, but human trafficking. How does one get into human trafficking?
It's keeping someone contained. That's
it's actually something that, like, is, again, happening so much, but it's so well protected. Mm-hmm. So the whole Diddy thing, I know he was kind of up to all of this well before the Me Too movement, well before social media. So if he spent decades doing this before social media, I'd say there's so much to come out that I'd be surprised if he's ever, like, how is he not already in a cell? Why is he, where is he?
Because a lot of really innocent people do get out of bad crimes, unfortunately, or not innocent people do get out of bad crimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, Diddy, a worthy sinner of the week. And you know what time it is? It's the last bit of the show.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Yes, it is the last bit of the show. Holly Carpenter is still with me, the social media content creator. Alison Curtis, presenter of Weekend Breakfast on Today FM in a very crisply ironed...
Yeah.
Outfit.
Oh, I don't think I've ever ironed this.
Oh.
I hate ironing.
Yeah.
Do you like ironing?
I hate it.
I'm going to have a sneeze attack. Sorry.
Okay, go on.
Oh my God, excuse me.
Okay.
Bless you.
Iron.
No, I don't like it. So I'm so bad in that I get something, put it into my closet, mm-hmm. and it just stays there after I have, like, so you wear it a few times, wash it, and then I'm like, oh, that needs to be ironed. So that goes to the back of my closet. And then
that's where it lives.
For years. Terrible. But this week I was like, Alison, stop. Like, you know, I'm pretty good with the minimalist wardrobe anyway. Like, I don't buy a lot of clothes. I'm like, there's some really nice tops in there. Get them out, you lazy so-and-so, and iron them. Now, I'm not going to say it was perfection, but it's wearable. And it's just such a, like, such a lazy thing for me to not do. Mm. And now I've got, like, a whole new wardrobe.
Okay. It's okay to hate ironing, though.
Yeah. See, I have, like, but weirdly I have happy memories of it because my mom watched when I was younger, she watched this soap opera called Young and the Restless.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the name?
Yeah, it used to be on TV here on Sky, maybe. You used to have it on in the middle of the day.
So the ironing board went up and she just ironed for whatever, however long. And, like, so I kind of have fond memories. I watched that, a little bit of that, what I could watch, and, like, chat to her and all that. So it was nice memories around that particular chore, but I just never... ever liked doing it. But I did it this week out of necessity, really, but also just going, okay, Alison, you could open up a whole new wardrobe to yourself if you just ironed these things. And I did. So there you go. Expect to see me in new clothes every Friday.
Wow. Old new clothes.
Old new clothes.
Old new clothes. Are you a good ironer, Holly?
I actually don't own an iron. I've never owned one.
So you can get by.
I don't want to. I just don't think I'll ever buy one.
What do you do?
I don't really buy things that need to be ironed.
Yeah, don't shop in Costs then.
No, I know.
All my clothes come from.
True, actually. I have a steamer, so I can give it a light steam if needs be. And I just don't feel like life's too short. I'm sure if I have kids one day, they'll probably need their uniforms ironed.
Not
necessarily. Do they?
Okay, grand.
No.
That was the only time I thought I was ever going to iron.
Maybe like kind of week two of junior infants, you're kind of giving an iron. And then by week three, you're like, what am I ironing this?
Yeah, and educate together. They went whatever.
That's the other solution.
Yeah, if they're doing a photograph that day, then maybe. But yeah, I don't actually own one.
Like, people own their sheet, like iron their sheets.
I've seen
jeans. I went on a trip.
You don't have to iron jeans. You don't even have to wash jeans.
What?
You don't have to wash jeans.
I've heard the theory you do.
No, Holly, you don't have to wash jeans.
Why Daphne spills stuff on jeans and, like, men?
They self clean.
They don't.
Jeans self clean. They do.
Maybe women wouldn't have to, but I feel like men probably should.
Jeans. What do you think we're doing in our jeans?
I don't know. You're just dirty.
I want to wash my jeans.
No, you don't need to. You're destroying the planet.
Yeah.
No, they get softer. They get softer the longer you go without ironing them. They're like the opposite to bed sheets. You know when you go weeks and weeks and weeks and your bed sheets turn to cardboard?
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
So
your jeans go,
like,
jeans go the opposite way.
I think Levi's, didn't they originally say you don't actually have to wash these?
Yeah. Great
but
stuff.
What if you spill coffee on them or something?
But you just, I don't know, buy dark jeans, like, you know?
Sustainable.
Yeah, exactly. No, it works its way out.
Sustainable and smelly.
Yeah.
So the portal, you've been to the portal?
No.
You haven't been to the portal yet?
I know. And it's like
Holly's a big fan of the portal.
I love the portal. Now, in saying that, I actually haven't been to it, but
Holly!
I just think that following this whole story of the portal has been so entertaining. And I just thought from the get-go, we all knew what was coming when it was placed on the north side. And I have been, like, I'm a north sider. I literally have lived in the north side my whole life. I love it. And even when I saw that, I was like, you're going to get some gas characters now coming up to this. But one of the things I think is so funny about it as well is, like, we're so used to technology like that now. Like, we're so used to Zoom, FaceTime, all of our phones can do anything. And if you were to say to someone 10 years ago or 20 years ago that there's going to be this huge circular portal in the middle of the street and we're going to be able to interact live with people all the way over in New York, our minds would have been blown. Like, I think we're just so immune to that now. We're like, oh, whatever, the portal state of it. I just think it's iconic. And also, they're going to be changing the city after autumn and we're going to have other cities that we can interact with apparently as well.
So Toronto?
Yeah.
Maybe. No, actually, they'd be less crack. Sorry.
I think we should have them. They should be all over the place. Yeah. I love that. I think there should be other portals. I've been to, not only have I been to it, I've been interviewed on Australian radio about the portal.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
How'd you get that gig?
Well, I actually don't know. I don't know how I got it. Random.
Yeah. Can I just say the stuff that's being done is presumably the worry is that if on the other side it's younger viewers, like under 18 seeing it. But in general, if it's all adults, like, you know.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
I mean, a bit of flashing
stuff.
And a bit of mooning.
Yeah.
I mean, that's harmless.
But it is, you're right, it is. Yeah.
We all do it.
Yeah, exactly. Who hasn't? Who hasn't by this time today flashed or mooned somebody? There's great characters up there.
That's
like,
it
is absolutely like madness.
Educate the New Yorkers on what fun is.
Exactly. And also, I hope I don't get in trouble for saying that about the North Side. I do love the North Side, but we all know it would have been a bit less hectic, let's say, if it was on maybe Stephen's Green or something.
It would have been a bit sanitized.
Yeah, you
it?
Need to just show the salt of the earth, a bit of crack.
When I first moved here, everyone, this is terrible, but my friends that I had at the time, early days, were like, maybe when you're looking for a place, like, don't go to the North Side. And I was like, why not? And people were like, why don't? And I was like, I'm going to the North Side.
Yeah.
And you've never come back. You've been trapped there ever since.
Yeah. Well, now I've crossed the if we were in the South Side now. But
well, currently,
North Side is where it's at.
I feel like North Siders are a bit sounder than South Siders.
I just have always lived there, like Glasnevin, Phibsborough, like everywhere.
Mm.
There you go.
There we are. On that invocation for the North Side, Alison Curtis, presenter of Weekend Breakfast, Today FM, Holly Carpenter, social media content creator. Thank you both very much. Enjoy the bank holiday weekend.
Thank you.
Any bank holiday plans?
Working.
Oh, yeah, constant.
So boring.
I'm having a little engagement party tonight.
Ooh. Oh, I myself have Alison's invites, obviously.
Oh, sorry.
In the post.
Apologies. And then taking it easy.
Right, okay.
Yeah, awkward.
Yeah, right. Well, enjoy the party.
Thank you.
Anyway, and enjoy whatever you are up to this weekend. We'll be back on Tuesday from 4. Have a good one, folks.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.